VMware's kind of like efforts to SaaSify.
Powerful new technology. Cloud migration. Fully integrated system. HCX. And today we're delighted to announce.
Welcome to the HCX Majors Podcast, episode 18, live from Indiana. I'm Britton Johnson.
And from Colorado, I'm Andy Belts.
And from Kansas City, Kansas, this is Jason Marcusano.
Welcome all to a special edition episode. This is technically episode 18, but it may not get released exactly as we record it, but that's okay. We have with us, and we're going to get right to it because we've got a ton to talk about today. So, Brianna Williams, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
So, okay, big stuff is happening in the world of HCX. Big things are happening in the world of VMware, as is always happening. For a while now, the royal we of VMware, have been on this pivot, if you will, business-wise, to convert a lot of our products and services to subscription-based offerings so that customers have flexibility and pricing changes and how they want to do this. And, you know, it's the way of software delivery in the modern, you know, era. So HCX is kind of the next kind of shoe to drop, as you were, in this vein of product sets and things that VMware has that is starting to have a subscription-based, cloud-based product offering. This is getting really, really close to being publicly released and generally available. We're not exactly to that point yet, so this episode will release when we get there. But in the meantime, we're going to talk about what we know to date. And Brianna, because you're our resident expert, we have brought you on to have this discussion. So, yeah. First of all, what are they calling this thing, and what is it?
Yeah, because there's always names for it before products come out, right? So HCX Plus is going to be our name. Okay. We're part of Project North Star. So I guess I'll start there with saying Project North Star is VMware's kind of like efforts to SaaSify. I'm gonna copyright that.
I'll get you a t-shirt. Yeah.
A line of sassy products.
To SaaSify a bunch of different products. So in that umbrella, there's policy as a service, NSX intelligence as a service, NDR, advanced load balancer, or Avi, and then there's HCX as a service as well. So our official name is HCX Plus. It is the SaaS version of HCX. It's newer, better, simpler. And it's really exciting for a couple of different reasons of the way that, you know, customers are going to have an option to manage their entitlement in a keyless fashion.
All right. And so thank you for that. And a lot of this episode, just as a precursor note for listeners, is this will be very much a introduction to this service. And I guess that's where let me ask you this question, Brianna. Is it a product or is it a service? How would you classify it?
HCX has always kind of been a service in its own way. We've always had a component of a service. And that's why, for example, right, we have our requirement for network connectivity, because there's always, you know, it's not a phone home, but it is a heartbeat that HCX even today has to connect to VMware services for log purposes, for pushing out the updates and things like that. So it is even more of a service today, because our instance is going to be running in the cloud. Customers are going to be interacting with us and our service via the cloud services portal, which our VMC customers are already familiar with today. Or in VMC, and you know, if you have Verily Cloud, VRA Cloud, etc., those customers are used to it. So very largely, it is a service. There is still that traditional OVA deployment that will need to go in each vCenter. So that's not changing. But from a very high level, that should be the only time that you're interacting with that individual OVA. After that, everything should be happening from the CSP portal, which is really nice for customers with super large infrastructures that they're managing.
You mentioned cloud. Just a quick question on that. Is it primarily these are HCX Plus will then run in VMC? Is that, or is it run in other cloud arenas?
Yeah, so HCX Plus, for now, it is running, it's actually running in, a lot of the backend is AWS. As far as compatibility with like different types of environments, at initial availability, it will be for on-prem and VMC customers. Eventually, we do need to, of course, start including our other customers, such as VCPP, GCV, AVS, etc. Those talks of how the architecture changes, if any, is underway right now. So we don't have much to share, but it is, of course, a place that we can't neglect. So
that was one of my next questions: is if the architecture changes between clouds, but then also if the architecture of HCX Plus is different from what gets deployed and the components out there from on-prem or just original HCX. Is what makes it HCX Plus? Is there a cloud proxy or something like that?
There is still, you know, the notion of like that OVA that customers deploy today, the HCX manager. So there is that. We're calling it the HCX Plus Site Manager now. So it's a rebrand there, but a lot of the underlying infrastructure for now, because there is also, you know, the larger strategy to improve the product. So whether all of the components today stay as they are for the foreseeable future, we are, you know, talking about that. We want to improve, you know, the size of the manager, the number of components that we have. We just had an interlock last week with engineering to talk about like these strategic things. But for now, it's still the OVA that customers use. It does have like a manifest aspect that kind of facilitates trust between it and the SaaS component. But there is a SaaS component that's deployed in the cloud. It's not to the point where for VCDR, and this is probably getting into the weeds, but for VCDR, right, those customers, whenever they deploy that, it's like an instance in the cloud that gets deployed for that one customer. For HCX, we do have multi-tenancy so that, you know, we don't have to wait for anything to deploy. When customers are getting that welcome email, it's going to be instant. It's going to say, hey, welcome to HCX Plus. Let's get your organization connected to the service and then you can start onboarding within the next hour. So it's very quick. But once you get that onboarding of the HCX Plus manager to SaaS, everything gets orchestrated from there. Your migrations, your configurations, your network extensions, everything happens from the console after that point.
So Brianna, the central console, does this get us away from the site-by-site management that we have today, that today with HCX, we have to stand up a site and go to that particular site and do the migrations only from that site? Are we actually centralizing the migrations capabilities of the solution?
Yeah, absolutely. That's one of the biggest things that we are solving for. Instead of having to go to each and every one like you're describing, Jason, you'll just, once you onboard it to SaaS, everything happens from there. One of the biggest things that we're going to be like adding, because of the fact that we have centralized management, is also centralized lifecycle management, which is brand new to HCX. You know, so today, right, customers have to go to each and every one of those OVAs and HCX managers that you described and do all that lifecycle management there. But with SaaS, you'll be able to do it all from the console and, you know, be able to report on the versioning and the health of all those sites and things like that. There's just so many possibilities that could come from that, right? And that's where my PM role comes in and says roadmap. So I'll pause at that.
Yeah, no future talk here.
Yeah.
No, that's all good. And I think one interesting piece that I'm thinking about as we're talking about this so far, there, you know, in my own experience in dealing with customers who've you know, used HCX, you know, quite successfully, the vast majority of them, it's not a long tail product for them. Like they stand it up in their environment, get their job done, and then they tear it down. Is that kind of where a part and parcel of why we kind of saw the the as a service offering for HCX kind of being more of the future, so to speak, and more of a way that customers can more quickly take advantage of getting these kind of migration projects down?
Yeah, yeah. So one of the big things that I guess you can call it a rebrand, or I would like to say it's more of a re-emphasis on some of the use cases that to kind of like change the narrative about HCX. Because to your point, Britton, like people do see it as a one and done kind of product. But the more and more that we talk to customers, we're finding that it's used for mobility, you know, years down the line, right? Some use cases are not going to be a one-time thing only, such as hardware refreshes. People are always going to be doing that. We're seeing a lot of people repatriating to their on-prem from their various clouds. We're seeing people still consuming clouds. We met a customer last week that moves their workloads every 6 months because they had a hurricane in the past and their DR solution didn't work. And so now they test it every 6 months. And they move their migrations, their VMs every 6 months. So HCX Plus, one thing that we're emphasizing is that instead of just focusing on like that migration, that one-time migration, we're focusing on mobility and addressing all of these use cases that customers are using it for. We're focusing on the fact that HCX Plus is addressing use cases from day one, from day zero, one, and two. And I mean, depending on who you talk to, people have different definitions of that. But really, we're focusing on the fact that like we can address from end to end any mobility use case that you may have. So it's actually been really exciting to kind of do this rebrand of HCX just to kind of start fresh, especially from all the learnings that we've had. I mean, I think as of this year, I was looking, we're almost at 1 million migrations since the beginning of the product, wow, which is pretty cool. So it's been really fun doing this.
That's great. We need the ticker counter like McDonald's used to have. How many yeah. people served? We need that on the HCX portal.
Yeah, millions yeah. You like a little confetti at 1 million. So yeah.
How many Big Macs have we served today? Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's fun. It's fun.
Aside from just basic migration, what are some of the other initial availability or, you know, even general availability use cases that customers are, you know, can look forward to at this point?
Well, so Jason touched on one of them. You can now see everything from one point of view, whether that be all your configurations, and you can do all of your migrations from one point of view as well. We have also like a way to visually depict a topology, which is going to be really cool for customers who maybe have infrastructures where they're migrating from one vCenter to two or from two to one, whatever use case you can think of there. I touched a little bit on lifecycle management. So that's going to be fun, that's going to be the most new part. We have a little bit coming out at initial availability, and I think the more exciting stuff is going to come later on. So I won't touch on that. One thing that we do want to build out is like RBAC. That's always been a question for customers. Hey, I have a third party, company, and they're doing my migrations, but I don't want to give them admin. Can you help? So that's one thing that we definitely want to touch upon.
So we still have the key stuff like network extensions. What about stuff like OS assisted migration and things like that?
Yeah. So depending on when this podcast is released, there will be some features that aren't going to be there like on day one, but we are working toward parity. If it isn't there day one, it may come later on.
Okay. All right.
I'm just looking at the stuff that you sent out, Brianna, and I think one benefit that we haven't mentioned, just that looks, I'm sure customers would really appreciate, is just the overall lifecycle management of the HCX and Plus and the sites associated, right? Looks to be a lot less steps.
Like even from the day one of deployment, like we do have simplified deployment. Gabe, he did this thing where he looked at all the millions of, I don't want to say millions, but the the amount of screens it takes to do the compute and network profile and service mesh and all that kind of good stuff. I think it was like 15 or so screens, and that's been reduced to about 5.
Wow, that's tremendous.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean, it's it's a huge simplification. We've also simplified like how all the appliances get deployed. So instead of having to separately do the service mesh, do the site pairing, et cetera, actually during the site pairing, it'll create the service mesh based off of what you tell it in the previous steps. We're now calling them site resource profiles, which is what people know today as like, it's just going to be a combination of the compute and network profile information that you give it. That's been consolidated a lot. Let's see, we have smart defaults in a couple of different places just to reduce human error. We have like some advanced settings. So like if a customer wants to deploy a network extension, for example, like quick and easy, nothing fancy, it takes like maybe 2 screens. And the only thing that we ask for is the network you want to extend and the default gateway. But if you want an advanced setting, you can enable MON, you can enable HA and all that kind of good stuff. Same thing with the migration options. So we suggest as default using RAV because that's becoming one of our more popular migration types and it's least disruptive. So we're setting that as our default migration type. But if a customer really, has like a chatty VM for whatever reason, they can go in and into the advanced setting and do bulk migration. So you can either do it the quick and dirty way, or you can do it, I need to re-IP my machine and add all this customization type of way. So,
okay, let's kind of have a little bit of a conversation around licensing. When I have these conversations with customers about HCX up to this point, the entry level way to get in the foot in the door of HCX is you have to own NSX Enterprise Plus.
Yes.
In the destination. So what are our, and this has always been a hot button issue for customers because there's always the customers who are, hey, I love HCX. I want all the migration stuff, but I don't want NSX. Like the two products are kind of married. And so how does that transition or not into the HCX Plus world?
Yeah, sure. So from a technical standpoint, we do still require NSX. Right now, as the product stands, whenever you deploy HCX and you're like selecting the network extension appliance, for example, like as a service, we do some plumbing into the NSX at the target environment. So that is still there. However, instead of having it as a hard requirement for customers to have Enterprise Plus, we are now allowing all tiers of NSX. So if you have professional or advanced, this is a lower entry point to HCX, which is exciting because, sometimes customers say, hey, I have NSX, but it's not Enterprise Plus. What can I do? And before, right, we didn't have any standalone SKUs of HCX, but at initial availability, we will have a standalone. And it will be compatible with professional and advanced. So that's great. And that also goes with whatever equivalent VCF that those versions of NSX came with as well. So very nice there.
Good. And I think the stipulation there of NSX professional, advanced, or Enterprise Plus is those are all NSX license tiers that include the capability of doing overlay networking. And so there are other tiers that are more security focused that don't include any overlay networking capabilities, and those we would not be supporting HCX Plus with, correct?
Correct, because we still require the transport zone and the overlay and things like that, yeah.
Okay, just trying to make things clear. All right.
Yes.
Okay. And then the other licensing question. So say I'm an HCX customer today. I own HCX Advanced, the perpetual keys. I'm paying support on them. I want to keep them. Is there a way to potentially convert those licenses? Maybe not right away. Innovation, I believe, was it something that has been discussed maybe?
Yeah, we're definitely discussing it. So we do want, and I guess that's also a good point. So initial availability, we're unfortunately only going to be supporting Greenfield customers. So I'm going to expand. I'm going to answer your question, but it's going to take me some time to get there, Britt.
I got as much time as you can give me.
Yeah. So we are only supporting greenfield customers. But I mean this in like a way of I have not deployed HCX. Maybe I have 10 environments that I need to do migrations in. Five of them are currently consuming any HCX infrastructure. I have five new ones. Can I use HCX Plus there? The answer is yes. Now, where it gets hairy is you can't commingle HCX Plus infrastructure and the current offerings infrastructure. Right now, we're trying to find a way to non-disruptively consume those environments so that customers don't incur downtime, because who likes doing that? So we're trying to accomplish that. As far as your license conversion question, we do not have a upgrade program quite yet, but I do keep bugging my pricing guy about it every week. So it is coming. It is on the top of my priorities because we do want to support our loyal brownfield customers. But it's twofold to support them, right? It's the licensing point of view and the infrastructure consuming into HCX, or the, I should say the technical point of view.
So you mentioned greenfield customer. There's nothing stopping just any customer that already has HCX on-prem just becoming a new greenfield customer. And then they can do what they want with their pre-existing environment, correct?
Ooh, can you say that again, Andy? Sorry.
Yeah, no. So I'm a customer. I have HCX today. Mm-hmm. And I want to use HCX Plus. There's nothing stopping me from just essentially becoming I'm doing air quotes here, but a new greenfield customer, even though I have pre-existing software, correct?
Yeah. So, I mean, if you're asking if the current offering is still valid, it is. Is that what you're asking? If customers can still consume current offering?
No, I think the way he's saying it is like, ignore what I already own. I'm going to buy HCX Plus and install it separately in a brand new thing that I'm standing up. So like,
yes.
that's, you know, it might look a little funny in their license portal for the customer that they've got these perpetual licenses and then they've got, you know, however the licenses are communicated for the cloud portal. But I would assume that they could, as long as they are paying for both, they can have both. I would think that would be the case.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing's stopping them from doing that. There's also nothing stopping customers from, if they currently have HCX and then they want to uninstall and then reinstall HCX Plus, nothing stopping them from there, from doing that as well. We're trying to do it non-disruptively as possible.
But there's not that, but kind of to Andy's point though, then there's not a way that we would say, have a customer who's got stuff deployed today where they've got, you know, interconnect appliances and a service mesh stood up. We're not going to like shut down those HCX managers and then redirect all the, deployed components to something up in the cloud. They're going to have to redeploy all that stuff to make all those connections work if they're going to start over, right?
If they want to do it before we have brownfield support, yeah. They're going to have to redeploy it.
Right. That's what I was getting at. Yeah. I wanted to ensure that customers that already had something set up were able to have a way forward if they wanted to. And it sounds like the answer is yes, just with a little extra effort on their part.
Yeah, and it's coming.
For now.
It's definitely, for now. But it's top priority for sure. We it's definitely one thing that I keep bugging engineering about.
Last couple of questions that I have, and then otherwise it's free for all time. Trial program. So if the customer thinks, you know, hey, this looks interesting, I want to sign up for this. Most of these cloud offerings have sort of an automated way that they can sign up for a cloud offer, a trial program of it. Is that something that we'll have available at some point where they can just kind of fill out a form and just sort of stand this up on their own, sort of a self-delivered trial?
Yeah. At some point we will have a formal trial program. That's one of the big things that I'm working on this week. Actually, I just talked to my legal person about it this morning. So yes, trial program is on the way. Maybe by the time this is posted.
Sweet.
We'll see.
And then in the meantime, and I'll include this as an aside with this episode as well, is there a public way for customers to get into the beta program for this and other products within VMware?
Yes, there is. I will have to find that link for you. Okay. Yes, and that beta, this link is also good for all of the other parts of Project North Star as well.
I really like that we're centralizing the management of all the instances of HCX. I mean, our larger customers that are using HCX across the enterprise, you know, we talk about using HCX more than just for that initial migration, right? We want to use it for day two as well for keeping the data center load balanced. And in my larger customers that we're having to break their environments apart because they're growing, right? They're hosting for other customers. And so, you know, they started with this giant monolith and now it's time to go into this pod architecture. Well, the concern is, well, I stranded my resources, right? You know, you create this pod architecture, stranded resources. I'm like, yes, but no, because we have this wonderful service called HCX that you can then load balance across that. Oh, but oh, by the way, you got to go to the right HCX instance to go do that migration. Well, now that conversation becomes, no, I go to my HCX portal and I can load balance my pods all from one central location. So I just think that's tremendous. I can't overspeak how much that power that brings to the enterprise.
Yeah, it's, customers that I know of that, you know, have 40-odd vCenters or sites, they're struggling with this every day. If human error comes into play, who knows what can happen if you go to the wrong one. So,
right. You sling the wrong VM to the wrong place so you can make an application owner very, very,
yeah,
very
quick. Yeah. So it's pretty cool. And it's resonating the most with those customers who have a bunch of sites that they're going to be migrating between. And they're pretty excited about it. I mean, we've talked about this at Explore. We've talked about it at a couple of advisory board events that VMware holds. So I've heard nothing but excitement from customers about it. So it's fun.
Excellent. So this might be a futures question. This might have to be edited out, written.
All right.
So the migration tool that we saw recently that VMware is working on and is releasing that helps do some migration wave planning, do we see any kind of collaboration between that and HCX Plus?
Are you talking about ARIA migration?
Yes, I think that's the name of it.
Yeah,
I just see a great collaboration potential.
It's in tech preview.
Maybe.
Yeah, so they do have a blog. We're probably looking at the same thing, Britton. Yeah. That they have this blog, and there is one mention of HCX there. So, yes, one thing that ARIA migration, I just want, cause you know, it's their product, so I can't really talk on their behalf, but, the big piece of ARIA migration, is that they are doing a lot of, you know, the planning that, you know, VROPS, Verney, et cetera, are doing. But similarly to the relationship we have with them now, where Verney integrates with HCX and the mobility groups, we are doing something similar for that for HCX Plus. So that is in the works. They are doing the planning portion and then working with HCX to do the actual migration portion. So
it's great. It's great to hear the two solutions potentially working together.
Yeah, we'll have to get that team on to talk about them some more, talk about this thing some more. All right. Well, again, thanks for the time, and we will get this released when things are public and available. And this is like the first kind of like under the covers episode that I've recorded that I can't release immediately. So it's like, you know, you're testing your trust in me, Brianna. So I appreciate that. So.
Yeah, I have to trust you for at least a month.
Well, I have to trust that I want to keep my job too. So there's that.
Yeah. Well, welcome to the life of PM, Britton, where you can't, you know, publicly be excited about things.
It's like working for the feds.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you.